This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show, which, of course, is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 397. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. Well, what does it take to build a startup culture that can attract and retain top talent? On today's show, we're going to show you how to do that. Plus, do you have the dream of one day selling your business? I've done it and helped many other companies do it. But to maximize your return, you've got to be prepared. Plus, what do teams actually do to draw them together? Well, it's a sense of purpose. Unfortunately, many small business owners actually lack this in their culture and daily work. But first, scrappy is defined as full of fighting spirit, synonymous with having moxie, being feisty, enthusiastic, gutsy, lively, and spunky. My next guest believes that this is the key to being successful in business. Terry Shodine is the principal and founder of Shodine Communications. For more than 20 years, she has served as a speaker and consultant to Fortune 500 companies and members of Congress. She's got a great book out. It's called Small Message, Big Impact, The Elevator Speech Effect. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks, Barry.
So what is, tell us about the this idea of the scrappy advantage.
Right. So so to be scrappy really is the whole concept based on how do you separate yourself from the masses in a clever way that really inspires people to want to hear what you have to say, listen to your message, and take action.
Okay, and so I like this idea of being scrappy, but what differentiates some? Give us some examples of someone who is scrappy and then who is not really scrappy or just maybe just lazy.
Well, let's do a comparative. So my first book, which you mentioned, is called Small Message, Big Impact, and that book is really about how to help people to craft a more clear, concise, and compelling message. But scrappy was actually a chapter within that first book. So this new book that we're talking about today, Scrappy, which is a little book about choosing to play big, really focuses on this kind of notion that you can have the greatest presentation in the world, but if you don't have access to the most desirable listeners, then what's really the point? So the difference between a scrappy person and somebody who's just, you know, kind of working on the day-to-day, you know, just kind of executing a normal strategy is that a scrappy person says, look, I really want to step out from, you know, kind of waiting in line behind everybody else and following the appropriate front door strategies. And I think the best way to think about it is just kind of go back in time and imagine that movie Wall Street where Charlie Sheen is playing the character of Bud Fox. Bud Fox is trying to capture the attention of Gordon Gekko. Gordon Gekko is played by Michael Douglas, and he's an aggressive business entrepreneur and investor. And basically, Bud Fox says, look, I want to grab the attention. I want to bag an elephant. I want this big client. And so ultimately, he gets blocked at every turn. He can't get through the front door. And finally, he says, that's it. I'm all in. So he decides he's going to cold call Gecko's office for 59 days in a row. He does homework to find out when his birthday is. He figures out what his favorite cigar is. And on his birthday, he shows up on his doorstep with a box of his favorite cigars, and he gets a shot to make his presentation. And when he kind of takes that approach, again, I'm going back to 20 years ago, but when I saw that small sequence of scenes in the movies, he got his shot, but I got the lesson. And that was a real turnaround point for me, and it really made me start to execute more scrappy strategies on a regular basis.
I like that idea because the gentleman that was actually the first guest on this show ever is a person named Scott Jordan who has Scotty Vest. And when people were not talking about his clothing line, he actually went to their office and brought the clothing line to them and sat in the waiting area until they would see him.
Right. And that's really what it's about. I think that, you know, and my goal, you know, in kind of interviewing all of these different people is, look, it's to get scrappy isn't always a money play. It sometimes people get scrappy because they have some sort of personal conviction. Sometimes it is because you want to get a different job. Maybe you're trying to do a career transition. Maybe you're trying to get an investor. You're not going to get scrappy every day. But the point is that when you're really ready to put your tush on the line and make something happen, a scrappy play can be the thing that really separates you from the masses.
And that's a technical business term, right? Putting your tush out there on the line.
Exactly, yes.
And I love what you're talking about because it really comes from being authentic and a place of conviction that you're really devoted to getting this thing done. To me, that's what the dedication to scrappy is all about.
Right, and I think that what was so fun for me, just kind of going through this process is, you know, sometimes people make a small play. Sometimes people make a medium-sized play. Sometimes people make a large play. And as you're reading the book, you know, you're basically going to kind of feel like, well, I wouldn't do that, but I might do this. Or, you know, I would never do what that guy did, but, wow, I could morph it and execute this way. So I think it really helps to stimulate new ideas and new thought processes that kind of get you out of your kind of day-to-day average or status quo mindset and make you think about what are the possibilities? What could you make happen if you really wanted to, you know, change your circumstances?
So is being scrappy about taking risks, or is it just about really working a little bit harder than perhaps the next guy?
Well, I think that, let me give you the best example. So I was a Girl Scout, and part of the Girl Scout experience is that you have to participate in the annual Girl Scout cookie drive. And so, you know, I followed the normal procedures, right? So I would get the order form, I would scour the neighborhood, encourage my neighbors to purchase cookies, then you turn the form into your troop leader. A few weeks later, the cookies come in, then you have to go back out and deliver the cookies, collect the money. Sometimes people aren't home. Sometimes you have to go back again. And, you know, the goal is to sell 100 boxes of cookies. And you might think that that's easy, but trust me, it's no easy feat. And I was persistent, and I was tenacious, and I followed all the rules, and I got the job done, but it was hard. Now, fast forward to about 2 years ago. I'm reading this beautiful article in the Los Angeles Times about a young gal named Danielle Lay, and she and her mom decided that they were going to bypass that entire rigmarole, and they just set up a Girl Scout cookie stand in front of a legal marijuana pot distribution center in Northern California.
I remember.
And they sold 117 boxes in 2 hours.
Especially the thin mints.
And I thought to myself, especially that's pretty scrappy.
Especially right? The thin mints, right?
Right, and the whole point here is, look, I understand that the Girl Scouts' position is probably that they don't want Girl Scouts standing in front of marijuana pot dispensaries, but I think you get the idea here. I mean, she came up with a clever workaround that got her to her goal much faster. It saved her a ton of time, energy, and anxiety. And, you know, we can speak about persistence. We can speak about the front door. And I think that those things are very important. But quite frankly, nothing irritates the persistent person more than the scrappy person who comes up with a clever idea and flies right by him.
But Terry, how do we actually get on more of a scrappy path if we're just sitting back there and used to doing the same things over and over again and executing the same strategy just for different things?
Yeah, it's a conscious decision, and that's why we kind of say, you know, the whole book is called Scrappy. It's a choice to play big. At some point, you choose. And when I was interviewing all these different individuals, I was looking for this through line. And, you know, what makes someone want to get scrappy is that usually there's some sort of irritation, right? They have maybe they're frustrated, they're annoyed, or quite frankly, they could just simply be bored and looking for something different. And I liken it to a little bit of sand in a bed of an oyster. Without that irritation, the oyster will create no pearl. It's much like that with getting scrappy. There's something that irritates you enough, frustrates you enough, inspires or motivates you enough that you're like, that is it. I am ready to do something to create change. And when you decide to go and you really commit and you're all in, that's when these new pathways open. It's much like a railroad switch where once you really commit and you're really all in, the switch shifts, and it allows your brain to start thinking in an entirely different pattern. And it doesn't happen instantaneously, but it's almost like all of a sudden when you commit, you could be in the shower and an idea pops into your head, or you could be driving down the freeway and an idea pops into your head. So first the commitment comes, and then the ideas come.
So is being scrappy only for companies that are starting out or underdogs, or can you continue to be scrappy as you grow your business?
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm really excited that you brought that up because there's a beautiful case study in the book about an organization called Crossroads Hospitality, which is a division of Interstate Hotels and Resorts. Their organization is kind of splintered so that it's spread out all over the country, so their team is really siloed, And so they actually are encouraged as part of their culture to kind of get scrappy in their own backyards. And they actually measured their results when they made this kind of cultural shift to get scrappy. And they found an increase in production consistently when they implemented a fourth quarter scrappy blitz. And they found not only an increase in production, but an increase in employee retention. They found higher job satisfaction and overall team production as a result. So when you infuse a scrappy culture within your organization, you're empowering people to give them a little creative freedom. Actually be a bit more entrepreneurial in spirit, if you will, even though you're working within an organization. But you do so in a clever and actually managed way that helps to promote productivity, but also gives people autonomy.
Terry, great talk about scrappy. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBanges with a look at your roadways. The expressways and tollways are riddled with barricades. Here are the slow spots as a result of that. The outbound side of the Eisenhower bumper-to-bumper from Des Plaines Avenue out to Fifth Avenue, where two lanes are closed for overnight road work. 20 minutes to Manham, 33 to Thorndale. Keep in mind that on the Edens, either way at Lake Avenue until 7 a.m., crews are doing periodic full lane closures. If you're traveling east on the Indiana Toll Road, crawling from U.S. 421 on over to U.S. 35 with a crash taking out the left lane. Keep in mind that stepping off at 7 a.m. this morning at Chicago's Half Marathon, 15,000 runners are going to be on Lakeshore Drive and in and around Jackson Park. Lakeshore Drive will be closed completely at 6 a.m. between 67th and 31st Street. Today, we're expecting p.m. thunderstorms and a high of 85 degrees. Monday, partly cloudy, cooler, high 67. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You know, the world didn't stop while you slept. Get the first look at what's happening around the world and here at home.
Scene of a plane crash in the remote French Alps.
With Don't This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Bruce told CNN that he will follow the text of the law.
It's the breaking news and business information you'll need to start your day.
Here now with a look at some of the stories we're following.
Each weekday morning, starting at 4, right before Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy at 5. An AM 560. The Answer.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he's finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
This is Roger Michalski from Eagle Financial Publications. Are you a dividend investor? If so, let me tell you about a website that has just about every resource that a dividend investor could ask for. It's called dividendinvestor.com. We just launched a new and improved version of it, and there's nothing else like it. When you log on to dividendinvestor.com, you'll find screening tools plus an all-star ranking system to help you find the best dividend opportunities. There's a scorecard to track the dividends in your very own portfolio, plus time-sensitive updates so you'll be the first to know when dividends go up or go down, and so many other features. Be my guest. Log on for free today at dividendinvestor.com. Set up a portfolio and see how easy it is to work the dividend calculator. And be sure to take the website tour to discover all the other great benefits. I'm convinced dividendinvestor.com will pay dividends to your bottom line. Go to dividendinvestor.com now. Dividendinvestor.com.
AM 560, The Answer. Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, do you have that dream of one day selling your company? I've done it and helped many other companies do it. But to maximize your return, you really need to be prepared. Here to help is Kevin Short. He's the managing partner and CEO of Clayton Capital Partners, one of the nation's top independent investment banking firms in the middle market. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barry. Glad to be here.
Well, when people go out and sell their businesses, they have no idea that this is a difficult process, and sometimes it can seem like a colonoscopy that's really coming out your eyes, right?
Yeah, it does. If you're not prepared, the results can really be disappointing. Many sellers that go to market are not successful, and it's because they're not prepared. They don't look at their business like a buyer would. They look at it like they do, and it's been wonderful for them. But if it's not prepared correctly, the buyer will not close the deal.
Now, are they not prepared because they think, wow, it's on my business, it's so valuable?
It's part of it. A lot of it's just fundamentals. Their financial statements are not in order. The legal systems are not in order. Their tax picture, when they really figure out what the tax bite is going to be, it stops them. So these are some of the fundamentals you've got to get straightened out up front.
So some of the steps you should go through is you got to make that all your numbers are in place, right? You got to make sure that you have good financials. What else should you be doing?
I check to make sure all the legalities are correct. Have your law firm do a kind of a what I'd call a pre-sale due diligence. You know, do you have all your stock certificates? Do you have all your minutes? Do you have any shareholders that you're supposed to have bought out 20 years ago but never got the paperwork signed? Do you have any warrants or options out there? All that needs to be clean as a whistle before you go to market.
And one of the things I also ask small business owners a lot of time, Kevin, is do you have any skeletons in the closet? Because I remember once I was helping someone sell their business, and they didn't have skeletons in the closet, but they actually had skimmed off $3 million worth of cash out of their business. So it was a problem.
Right. Yeah, it is a problem. Yeah, if you're not reporting your income correctly, if you're underreporting inventory, for example, which is generally the way that entrepreneurs underreport income for tax savings. I had a client one time who told me on his financials he had about $400,000 worth of inventory. And I was perplexed by that because he did about $25 million a year in revenue. And I said, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
That's a lot of turns.
You're turning inventory every day. And I went to look at his he was in the concrete fixtures business. And I went and looked at his inventory, and he had about 11 acres of inventory.
Wow.
And I said, I can touch $400,000 from
That's
where I'm
right.
standing. Turns out he had about $10 million of inventory that he'd underreported. And it made him unsellable because the buyer wasn't going to pay for it. And if he had wanted to get paid for it, he would have been committing or admitting to a tax fraud.
Right.
So you got to make sure you get the right advisors. And this is just preparing yourself. I haven't even addressed getting the business itself ready. You got to make sure your management teams are smart and trained and can take over for you if you're going to go away. A lot of sellers are blind to the deficiencies of their management teams. It's important that those are all figured out and good people are in place before you go to market.
I love the idea that you talk about that you have to do a pre-sale due diligence, because when the buyer eventually does due diligence, it is difficult. So you might as well get all those things out right now.
Yeah, we're big on that. Deal making is hard enough as it is. It's hard enough to find the right buyers and get the right price and get the right terms. It's almost impossible if you have surprises during the due diligence process at the end. So we put them through pretty thorough due diligence up front to make sure that we uncover any problems. Because, frankly, if we know about them ahead of time, we can generally deal with them.
Exactly. How important is part of the due diligence list, Kevin, is the owner's readiness actually to sell? In other words, I always ask them, what are you going to do the day after your company sells? Because a lot of them have no idea, and sometimes they get cold feet during the transaction.
They do. That's exactly what happens. That's the number one reason they don't sell, is I don't know what I'm going to do next. So we're big believers in getting them to organizations to help them think about that. There's an organization in Dallas, Texas called Halftime, and they're dedicated to helping sellers, business owners, transition to the second half of their life, which is the half after sale. And so they're trying to go from, you know, having a significant business to a significant personal life post-closing.
Kevin, you also talk about that you have to identify your competitive advantage. Of course, small business owners are always looking for that. But what does that mean in terms and the context of a sale?
Yeah, a lot of small business owners don't realize they do have competitive advantages. They just think, you know, they go into the office every day, customers call in, customers buy from them. They often think customers are buying from them because of relationship or maybe a lower price. But often they're doing something that's pretty unique, and a big company will pay extra for that. So our job is to help them think about it. What are you doing to secure business? Why do customers stay with you, et cetera, et cetera? We had a small company doing about $3.5 million in sales and $1.5 million of profit. They were in the medical waste business, and they owned 100% of their region. And the big billion-dollar player had been trying to get into it for years, couldn't do it. That was their competitive advantage. The way they serviced those accounts was significant and different, and they kept the big guys out. So ultimately, the big guys paid them a 12 multiple for a company that normally should have sold for a 4 multiple of EBITDA or profit. And they paid them the 12 because they wanted to get a hold of them. We had convinced them we wouldn't sell for anything less than that. And they wanted to take our guy and have him teach their locations around the country how to do that. So they were willing to pay up for it.
And this is really the key, because you don't want to look for a financial buyer that's just going to pay a smaller multiple. You really got to look for these strategic buyers. How do you identify them?
That's where we do our homework with them. We brainstorm with them. We have quite a bit of research internally that we do. The sellers, the owners often will know who it is. We did a produce deal, a produce processor who was in the Midwest. And there was another produce processor that was national, had offices and plants all the way around the perimeter of the United States. And we all knew who they were, and we went to them and convinced them that because they did not have a location in the Midwest, that they were spending this amount of money on empty trucks and tires and gas and all that, that if they owned our client, they would make this much more money. And so that they and only they could have paid the bigger price because they would get it back quickly.
And so what do you find, Kevin, besides the owner not being ready to sell, what's the biggest thing where these things really go south? Or, as I say, the buyer really tries to retrade the deal or get a lower price?
Yeah, one of the reasons that we use a competitive auction is to combat exactly that. Our deals don't get retraded unless something material goes south with the deal. As long as your sales and profitability remain consistent during the sale process, which takes 6 to 12 months, as long as you stay consistent, then if you manage the buyer correctly, you're not going to allow them to retrade. One of the ways you do that is by having multiple buyers at the table, and you convince them that they have to pay the higher price, give you better terms, because if they don't, you're going to the next buyer. If they attempt to retrade, then at some point you will sign an exclusivity clause with them and move forward with one buyer. But in that clause, it's important you put language in there that if they attempt to retrade the deal or lower the price, same thing, that the stop shop, the exclusivity period ends and you go back to the other buyers. And then you also put in 2 to 3 week hurdles in the exclusivity language. You don't want to be sitting there exclusive for 120 days. That doesn't make sense. You want to be exclusive for 2 or 3 weeks. At the end of the 2 or 3 weeks, they've got to provide you with certain deliverables. If they don't, then the exclusivity period's over. So you keep the heat on them constantly by holding that fat over their head.
I think this is great information, because a large percentage of transactions that get started never get completed. Kevin, where can people reach you if they want more information?
ClaytonCapitalPartners.com, KevinMShort.com, ThinkOutrageous.com. They can buy the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, sell your business for an outrageous price. All those places I'm easy to find.
Kevin, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Barry.
Coming up, if you have no purpose in your company, guess what? Sooner or later, you won't have any team. We're going to talk about that secret ingredient. This is AM560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
We know you have absolutely no chance of winning the lotto, and you buy the ticket anyway.
The Dave Ramsey Show.
You are 27 times more likely to be killed in a car wreck driving to the market 1 mile than to buy the winning ticket when you get there. That's how bad the statistical evidence is on it, which makes you mathematically challenged. The lotto ticket is a tax on people who can't do math.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights starting at 7, presented by Wintrust Community Bank on AM560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts. An intense manhunt in Washington State is over. A 20-year-old immigrant from Turkey is in jail for the murder of 5 people at a mall. Island County Sheriff Mike Hawley made the arrest.
He said nothing. He was kind of zombie-like, about the best I can describe for him. He did not have a weapon with him.
Arkan Satine will be arraigned tomorrow. No word on a motive. A fifth night of protest in Charlotte, North Carolina, over the police shooting of a black man. Protesters defying a curfew for a third night. Yesterday, police released an inconclusive video showing Keith Scott with his hands at his side before he was shot. Bombs are falling on Aleppo again. The U.S., Britain, and France calling a U.N. Security Council meeting this morning to talk about the escalating fighting in Syria. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBanges with a look at your roadways. Starting off in Indiana, East 8094, jammed up just before Klein Avenue with a stalled semi taking out the 2 right lanes. And then east on the Indiana Toll Road, bumper to bumper from US 421 on over to US 35 with a crash in the left lane. Out on the Dan Ryan across the Stevenson Bridge, a crash takes out the right lane. Lakeshore Drive north and south will be shut down once again at 6 a.m. until noon between 67th Street and 31st for Chicago's half marathon. This report brought to you by Cabela's. For those that love the great outdoors, join them for Cabela's employee discount days. For a limited time, enjoy their employee discount on all in-stock products throughout the store. Going on now. Weather-wise, we're looking at partly sunny skies this morning, turning partly cloudy with a p.m. thunderstorm expected, a high of 85. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Global unrest, political uncertainty, economic policy changes. If only you had a crystal ball to predict how the stock market's going to perform, what would that look like? You'd have all your finances in top shape and be prepared for anything the market throws at you. Sound impossible? Not with Online Trading Academy. They'll help you get all the inside info to make those informed decisions so you can become your own expert. It's easy to get started. Just call 888-984-TRADE to receive two free passes to a half-day workshop at Online Trading Academy's Lombard Training Center. You'll learn how to start calling the shots so you can make money when the markets go up, down, or sideways. Again, this is a free seminar with limited seating. So call now, 888-984-TRADE, or register online at otaclass.com. Mention AM560 and get a free home video study course valued at $247 just for attending. Learn from the pros and reserve your seat today.
AM560, The Answer. Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
What really draws teams together is a sense of purpose. Unfortunately, many small businesses lack this in their culture and their daily work. Here to help your company articulate a clear purpose is Dan Pontefract, who is the chief envisioner at TELUS, a Canadian telecommunication company where he heads the transformation office. He's also the author of Flat Army, Creating a Connected and Engaged Organization. He's a great speaker. He's represented at multiple TED events and also writes for Forbes, Harvard Business Review, and the Huffington Post. Dan, welcome to the show.
Barry, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It seems so simple to say you got to have a sense of purpose in your company, but I got to tell you, if I would survey employees in so many small businesses around the country, I would tell you very few of them could say this is the purpose of the company. Would you agree?
I would completely agree. I think many employees think the purpose of the company is just to make money and they're servants to said mission.
And that doesn't bring people together to accomplish something great, right?
Of course it doesn't. I mean, we're all here carving our own path to the waterways, to the pathway of a waterfall. That's our life. It's us. And so, however, we all have to work 40 hours a week to make up the money to pay for vacations and for school and for snacks and for dinners and, you know, garbage cans, whatever it is. So there's an interesting relationship between the fact that we have to work and that we have our lives, but sadly, we're so disengaged in that place of work that many people are feeling unsatisfied in their life. So there is a complete calculation here that's gone wrong, and you know, I'm trying to help solve it.
And so what do we do about that?
Well, I mean, I think the owners of small biz, of any biz, really, it's partly up to them. I think they need to create an organization that's not just set up to make money, although I must admit, Barry, you have to make money.
Of course.
You can't not be unprofitable, right?
Of course.
But if that's the sole motive for a business to be in business, don't you think that perhaps the employees and the greater good of society would be questioning why that place is in business in the first place?
Exactly. So, people aren't going to get behind the idea, I'm just here to make the owner money or to make myself a living. That just doesn't work.
Right. Now, let's look at this on a grander scale just for a second. So sort of recently, Apple announced the new iPhone 7, right?
Right. A few weeks
and
back.
So the iPhone 7, yeah. So the iPhone 7 comes without the headphone jack, right?
Right.
So ostensibly, they are planning the obsolescence of a phone for us to go and buy new phones, which means that there's this whole almost catastrophic after effect where we continue to throw phones into the bin, creating economic, environmental, other kinds of issues for our society. So unless Apple starts thinking about other ways in which that they could give back to society, I can assure you that society itself and the employees are going to start questioning, why am I working here? Now dial it down. Go back to the flower shop on the corner, right? The construction company that you know has 15, 20 people working for them in a small community. If they're just there to build out profit and not think about the environment, the community, giving back, employees' engagement, then you have a disengaged employee group, which then, ironically, has counter effects to the success of the business. So when you have this relationship of defining the business for stakeholders and not just profit holders, you actually have a win-win for both the employee and the business.
So, Dan, give us an example of a company that has a really effective purpose so small business owners can see what that sounds like.
Well, there's one that I love talking about, and I don't know if you like sausages, but I'm a big sausage guy.
Sure, on Fridays.
So There's this company called Johnsonville Sausage. Here's a company that from the get-go has always said, we are in it not just for each other, but for the people in which we serve and work. And so here's an example of how that kind of higher purpose comes into play. So this is a company that started in 1945. They have about 1,500 employees. They don't call them employees. They call them members, as it turns out, right? So this company, who are based in Wisconsin, incidentally, they have lines in their kind of ethos or their purpose statements that are inclusive of, we at Johnsonville have a moral responsibility to become the best company in the world. We will do this as each one of us becomes better than anyone else at defining and then serving the best interest of all those who have a stake in our success. And it goes on. So they have a couple of these kind of purpose statements, right? But here's where it gets put into action. In 2014, there was a fire at one of their plants, and it decimated the plant. And there's about 120 employees at this plant. Now, it took them 9 months to go and find new land and to rebuild the plant. You know what Johnsonville did? They said, we'll keep you whole, the employees.
Wow.
And the reason they kept them whole was that they're there to serve each other right. And the community.
Right.
And so by keeping them whole, they kept them on the payroll for the 9 months that it took to rebuild the new factory. Did they go home and just sit sort of on the couch and watch TV? No. They said, look, for 20 hours of your week, we want you to volunteer in communities within the Wisconsin area where this plant was melted.
Well, Dan, I got to cut you off there because we're really out of time. If you want to hear the end of that story, go to www.danpontefract.com. Dan, I appreciate you being on the show.
No problem. Thanks, Barry.
We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBadges with a look at your roadways. Eden's either way, free and clear. However, it is loaded down with barricades. And at Lake Avenue, in and out, crews are doing periodic 15-minute full lane closures through 7 a.m. Kennedy, 20 minutes into and out of the airport from downtown. I'll be at the Eisenhower's loaded down with barricades through the avenues. It's not causing any delays, thankfully. Stevenson is A-OK. So is the Dan Ryan, I-57, the Bishop Ford. Lakeshore Drive, so far, so good. However, it's going to be shut down completely in about 15 minutes now. They're going to be closing it north and south between 67th Street and 31st. All of that for Chicago's half marathon, which steps off at 7 a.m. in Jackson Park. And weather-wise, it's going to be partly cloudy for the balance of the day. However, p.m. thunderstorms expected, a high of 83, currently 69. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moults.com. That's Barry@Maltz.com.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
AM 560, The Answer. Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Welcome back. You know, you and I are very much alike. During my many years of running my own company, I had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. For me, it was the moment of truth, and it was a painful realization. My business had flatlined, and I had no idea how to breathe new life into it. Does this sound familiar to you? You know, it was especially difficult for me since my customers were not getting the service I was so passionate about delivering to them. Secondly, and probably most importantly, I wasn't making any money. Finally, my stuck business literally was sucking the life out of me. This was not exactly the way that I thought my business would turn out after reading all of those books. Well, it's kind of normal, sort of. During the life cycle of every single business owner, they get stuck from time to time. Do any of these things sound familiar? Take a listen. Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. It doesn't get much more frustrating than this. You have few new leads to customers coming in, and customers keep just fading away. You're burned out, and you're completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family is starting to suffer as well. You got to get off the roller coaster. I know what it's like to ride this entrepreneurial roller coaster. I'm here to tell you it doesn't have to be like that. I've had my ups and downs. I finally cracked the code at getting unstuck and moving your business forward. Over the years, I have worked with hundreds of corporations and small business clients to help identify the sticking points in their systems so they can take their business to the next level. Throughout the decades of running my own businesses, I've identified six major areas where almost every small business inevitably gets stuck. This is the year that your business gets unstuck. As you journey through my breakthrough training series, I'm going to show you fast and easy and permanent solutions to get unstuck. Each module includes a guided PowerPoint presentation, a voice recording of me presenting this materials in front of a live audience, downloadable lesson notes, downloadable homework assignments, and audio recordings of the 100 best of Business Insanity Talk Radio over the last 5 years. Whether you learn best by watching, listening, or reading, there is a format for you. I've made it very easy for you to absorb the material and develop a clear plan of action of moving forward. There are six steps to a better business. This is what I'm going to guarantee you throughout this course. First module is about find new customers and grow the ones you got. You know the drill. When business is booming, you ignore sales and marketing. And then business slows down. And as a result, you go do sales and marketing. This is a hamster wheel to nowhere. Your business remains flatline and stuck as long as you stay on what I call the double helix treadmill. I'll show you how to grow your business by tossing out the old paradigms and traditional sales techniques through my easy-to-follow step-by-step guide. I'm going to show you how to increase the revenue of your business without ever having to sell again. Module number two is finding money to manage your business. Because guess what? It's already there. As a small business owner, there's a great joke. It says, I sleep like a baby. I go to bed early and wake up at midnight screaming my head off. Does that sound familiar? Cash flow keeps a lot of small business owners up at night. We've all felt the crunch of following the Great Recession. Cash flow has slowed to a trickle. Bank financing is almost impossible. And customers, well, they're just taking longer to pay their bills. I have found that only 5% of small business owners actually understand the secrets to overcoming the cash crunch. Learning this module will always have cash to run your business. Module number three, building a team that lasts. One of the most difficult elements of growing a business is hiring and then holding on to the right employees. A good rule of thumb is to be slow to hire and quick to fire. Unfortunately, not many business owners follow this advice. Instead, they hire the first person that fits the role. Then when the employee doesn't work out, they hesitate to fire them, no matter how many team members think they are incompetent. I'm going to show you how to effectively hire, train, manage, and fire people to maximize the leverage in your business. Module number 4, customer service is the new marketing. While this may surprise you, the truth is that customer service is your biggest marketing tool. In this age of social media, traditional advertising really has become meaningless, and people are looking for earned media based on buyers' recommendations. In this module, I'll teach you how to create an effective customer service manifesto so your customer can be served at every level of your organization. Module number 5, you got to break that social media addiction. It's no secret. The World Wide Web can be a worldwide waste of time. Most small businesses have no idea what they're doing. I'll show you how to make sure you use social media as your new marketing voodoo. Module number 6, the real trick to all of this is boosting your productivity. Recent studies have indicated that multitasking can cause brain damage. At the very least, it prevents you from doing what you do best. It certainly doesn't allow you to get things done effectively. You see, here's the thing. Your employees will mimic the way you work. You could soon have a team filled with inefficient, multitasking workers all running around chasing their tails. Get the picture. I'm going to uncover ways to get more done in half the time. I'm going to make sure that you're productive, not just busy. If you want to be part of this wonderful program, go to www.barrymoltz.com/unstuck. Use the special value code 50 off WIND and get 50% off the price. You'll learn the exact steps you need to take today to move your business to the next level. I guarantee it. So if this is the year that you are really committed to getting your business unstuck and you still have some questions about how it can absolutely positively change the way you do business, give me a call. I make available to all our business listeners a 15-minute free audit of your business and how I can help you get unstuck. The number is 773-837-8250, available to the first 5 callers. I guarantee this is your year.
Great talent is the driving force behind your successful business. If you don't have the right people in key roles, then you have talent gaps. IMC Solutions identifies those gaps and delivers expertise in recruiting the right talent to fill them, leaving you free to succeed.
Hi, I'm Linda Nichols, founder of IMC Solutions. We're a niche recruiting and staffing firm that specializes in placing human resources and sales professionals. We've created programs that are just right for your small to medium-sized business because we know that you're looking for expertise, but are also looking at the bottom line expenses to your company. You can take advantage of recruiting services that big companies get, but you don't have to pay the big fees. Our programs and solutions are affordable and bring you the people you need.
IMC Solutions understands the unique challenges of your business, making the tough job of hiring easy. Get started on finding your next hire today at imcsolutions.com or call Linda Nichols at 630-637-6200.
A couple years ago, I had a severe accident which disabled my right hand and caused chronic pain and complete suffering. It took many years before really we figured out exactly what it was or how to treat it. My whole goal was I did not want to be on high levels of pain medicine. After some time, I went to see Dr. Kenneth Candido to try to figure out the source of the pain and a solution and how to solve it. He listens. I'm going to cry because it's so real. I've been through so much and he wants to help his patients and he's there for me whenever I need him.
This is Ken Candido of Chicago Anesthesia Pain Specialists. I have a simple message for you. If you or someone you love or someone you know has chronic pain, contact us. Treating chronic pain issues is what we do. We can make it better. Get an appointment and let's talk. MyPainChicago.com, MyPainChicago.com. All the info is available at MyPainChicago.com. Let's make you pain-free.
AM 560, The Answer. Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, what does it take to build a startup culture that can help businesses attract and retain top talent? Here to share their research is Brian Chaplin, who's the general manager of Turnstone, which is a Steelcase brand. Brian, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Barry. It's great to be back.
It's great to have you back. Tell us about your research and what you found out.
Well, it's been a fascinating journey. We've got a few people on our team who wake up every day thinking about researching human behavior and what it looks like in the office. And so we had a few of these people who have backgrounds in anthropology and design thinking come out with us to about a dozen startups and just watch and listen to what's happening in the workplace. And from that, we distilled kind of four key themes of what we see as driving entrepreneurs, but also having it be analogous to entrepreneurs' approach to their space. So we're calling this idea of the research startup culture.
Okay, and so what'd you find out?
So we learned that there are four key themes that are pretty similar across people that are running their own businesses or working in incubators and accelerators and co-working spaces and working within those spaces. The first is that they each exhibit a unique level of passion and personality. And, of course, that would seem par for the course, but they're waking up every day thinking about their businesses. And we saw that started to translate to their approach to their space. So we would see entrepreneurs with their motorcycle in the conference room or a sculptural object from home or framed movie prints of their favorite movies in the space. But then we would also start to see that take on a unique approach to exhibiting their personality in the furniture. So we saw people packing their own furniture and building their own, and that started to push us to allow more customization of the furniture. So passion and personality were two of the key traits. A third one was authenticity. We noticed that people seem to be more likely to work in a lounge posture. We found that one-third of Gen Y wanted to work in a lounge posture in these spaces. And so we felt like it was they wanted to be who they were. They didn't want to check their personality at their door. That translates in obvious things like their wardrobe, but also their posture, which means they had a disproportionate number of spaces for lounge rather than traditional desks. And then the last thing was this idea of agility. Obviously, businesses and entrepreneurs are famous for pivoting based on market conditions or today's great idea. We also noticed that they would move from one space to the next with rapid frequency. So it's helping us to try and think about what types of spaces help an entrepreneur translate that idea from one group to a small team to hundreds of thousands of customers out there. And so we need those agile spaces, and that's what they were really seeking.
So, Brian, with the 30 seconds we have left, just tell us what Turnstone is doing to really make sure that this culture and space really do matter.
The biggest thing that we're rallying around is this idea of helping entrepreneurs step out of the sea of sameness, kind of step out of today's traditional beige corporate environments or maybe underserved spaces that they're working in today with kind of workaround or used furniture. And we're trying to create ways to leverage their DIY spirit and their approach to putting their own thumbprint and their own space. So we're just developing a table line right now that allows us to come up with a base structure, and then they could put their own top on top of it, which really gives them a feel like they co-created in the design process. So that's just one example, and that kind of is a microcosm of our approach to creating a wave of other ideas about space and exhibiting your personality or your passion within it.
Well, Brian, I appreciate you being on the show again. I've seen this furniture, this what you can use for your company. It's incredible. Go to www.myturnstone.com. Brian, thanks so much.
Thanks again, Barry.
And thanks all of you for being on this week's radio show. Of course, I want to thank our sponsor, Nextiva. If you're serious about getting your small business unstuck, give me a call, 773-837-8250, or you can email me at barry@moltz.com. Isn't this the year that you move your company forward? Isn't this the year that you make more money? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
With Barry's 25 years in